What's up, everybody? This is Will Pruitt here with the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. And let me tell you, me and this All Access Podcast, we're going to be good friends for the next couple days because we got WrestleMania on the mind. I'm going to be coming at you probably tomorrow morning, depending on when it's posted, with a WrestleMania preview roundtable with myself, Jake Barnett, and Ryan Kester, picking the matches at WrestleMania, giving a little preview, talking about the successes and failures of the buildups to that. And then Sunday night after the show, I'm going to be getting together with Jake and Ryan once again, and we're going to be doing an all-access WrestleMania roundtable. It's going to be quick and dirty. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a great time doing it. So make sure you stay tuned to the ProWrestling.net All-Access Podcast. But you know what? This time of year, I don't know about you, but I just can't get enough wrestling. That's where I come from. That's the person that I am. I love it. And I say to myself, man, I love the all-access stuff. You know, I'm sure you do. You're listening to me, blab. But you love the all-access stuff, but you want more. We got more for you on the ProWrestling.net membership side of things. Check this out. For the till about Tuesday or Wednesday, I believe it's Tuesday, we've got a deal going on, and this is WrestleMania country. I mean, where other websites might decide to jack the price up for WrestleMania, say, you know what? We're going to raise it because we know the more people are going to pay. We're breaking them down, son. We're breaking our price down because till Tuesday, we've got a special going on where WrestleMania coverage, you can get it on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. You want audio? We've got an interview right now with Chris Roach and Big Dick Johnson, Chris DeJoseph, along with Jason Powell talking about WrestleMania. We've got Gabe Sapolsky talking about the Dragon Gate shows this weekend. We've got Eddie Edwards along with Chris Shore talking about the Ring of Honor show this weekend. We've got interviews coming out our wazoo, and there's more to come. Jason Powell is going to sit down with Brian Fritz on Sunday morning and talk about the Hall of Fame like they do on an annual basis. Plus, member exclusive audio review of WrestleMania. While myself, Jake, and Ryan are going to be doing a quick one for the All Access side of things, you're going to get Jason Powell, Chris Shore, and former WWE creative team member Seth Mates sitting down, analyzing WrestleMania deeply, intimately. That's going to be a fantastic audio. I know myself, I'm looking forward to listening to it on Monday morning, and I'm going to guess and say that you guys will be too. It's a big deal. All of this, ProWrestling.net membership right now. Normally, 1 month of membership, you just want to buy, you know, a la carte, get your 1 month and get out. Normally, that's going to run you $7.50. Right now, bam, one-third off the price. We're talking about it for $5. Now, if you say to yourself, man, that $5 price is really good, but I wish I could just lock it in. I mean, I just want to just pay $5. Our annual rate right now, we're knocking some cash off of it. It works out to $5 a month. So $60 for the annual rate. You're not going to find a better rate for a wrestling website, especially not one that gives you as much as we do. You get the .NET Weekly Show where Jason and Chris break down the news of the week. We're talking about news stories. We're talking about things that you're not going to hear anywhere else right on .NET Weekly. That's the only place you're going to hear them. We've got the .NET Countdown where Jake Barnett and I offer our insight and analysis on the top five and bottom three events of the week. We've got Chris Shore's Audio Slant, a really special and unique audio show where Chris breaks down the two key topics. He picks them. Normally, they're semi-current event related, but he goes in depth the way that most wrestling journalists are frightened to do. And then he does a DVD review. He does a little spotlight on the indies. I mean, it's a fantastic show. You've got Jason Powell doing a Q&A every week where he answers your questions. If they're about Walking Dead, he answers it. If it's about Shamrock Shakes, he answers it. And of course, if it's about professional wrestling and he does not know the answer, he'll call up his sources, he'll talk to him, and he'll find an answer for you. That's one of the best things about this site. Plus, you get access to the .NET members forum where you can interact with the .NET staff, other .NET members that are absolutely wonderful people, and have some fun. I know I'll probably be stopping by a little bit during WrestleMania just to snark a little bit with some folks. So that is a great place to do that. All of this, once again, guys, $5 a month right now. If you're sold, if you're hooked right now and you're going, shut up and tell me how to do it, I'll tell you how to do it. Go to ProWrestling.net. And on the right-hand side of the page, there's a flashy, blinky thing saying, hey, sign up for membership. Hey, sign up for membership. Click on that. It's going to take you to the membership page. And there are coupon codes that will say right there to use to make sure that you get that special rate. Guys, we don't do sales much. This is a one time a year. And you know what? We planned it for WrestleMania weekend because we want you to sign up and we want you to check it out. So even if you just want to try it out for a month, forgo that Subway sandwich, take your money back from Jared, slap him in the mouth while you're at it, and get yourself some ProWrestling.net. With that said, I think I'm here to cover Impact, not just hawk our wares. So I'm going to talk about TNA Impact a little bit. This was the second show taped last week, and the big story, well, I'll say what the big story is, and that's the big story on this show is Hulk Hogan returning to be the general manager of Impact. Again? Was he the GM before? I thought he was like the owner, controller, the mustached guy who's doing stuff on Impact. I have no idea what Hulk Hogan's role in the company even was, let alone is. But Hulk Hogan has come back, Jack, and he's got control of Impact. Impact. And he's doing that thing. And that the big story of the week, it started... I'll run down your Hulk Hogan segments right now. One of them was absolutely awful. Like, kind of unimaginably bad. I'm just sad to think about it right now. But it started off innocently enough. With Hulk Hogan, with Dixie Carter saying, you know, a little video recap, and then Dixie Carter in the back going, "You saw what I saw last week. I don't know what Hulk's gonna do. Oh, it just makes me so sad to know that Hulk Hogan may not be coming back. I'm going to talk to him, though. I asked him to come here, and he said he would." Yep, Dixie, keep on acting. I'm so glad that Dixie's on TV, so she'll keep funding a product whose ratings are falling. That is great. She said she trusts Hogan now, because Sting does. Yeah, that's a good choice. What's next? Eric Bischoff starts trusting Sting, and then you trust him, too? I don't know. But then we had kind of the opening segment in earnest, which was Bobby Roode coming out with cops and saying he is not getting fired and the people who want him to be can kiss his world championships behind. What is that, like the leather backing that we're talking about? I don't know. And he bragged about dominating Sting at Victory Road. He said that Sting leaving the GM position means that he won the war. He just cut a really nice promo, and he talked about Dixie Carter a bit. Now, the problem with this promo that I had, and it's what TNA has done, not Roode has done. The crowd started chanting in the middle of it, "We want Dixie." Guys, I think TNA, if you're proud of yourselves after that, you need to think about the fact that you would probably rather that crowd chanted, "We want Storm, Cowboy, come on, J-Bo," anything James Storm related. Hell, they could have chanted his entire theme song, which I would recommend, Impact Zone. Get on learning that theme song. But, yeah, it just was not, you know, it might be the reaction that they want, but I don't think it's a reaction that you want in a wrestling company if you're trying to get a guy like James Storm over. It's just not, it's not preferable. But what do I know, right? I'm doing a podcast. I'm just hanging out, doing stuff. Roode said that he didn't actually have to be in the building. He doesn't have to compete until lockdown. He said that Impact Wrestling has become a hostile work environment. So after lockdown, he's gonna have a chat with his lawyers and such. His super kicked lawyer, I guess. Then we said, then we had James Storm come down. And, you know, Roode also ran through his entire catchphrase thing. But James Storm cut a really nice promo about, you know, you don't put your hands on a woman. You don't do that. James Storm is playing the honorable whiskey beer drinking guy really well. And it's coming across. I think that, you know, anyone who's been listening, even on the All Access side to the sporadic updates I do here, you guys know, I'm a big fan of James Storm. I think he has a ton of potential, and I like what he brings to the product. There is something really special there, and there's something really special, especially in his promo ability, and he got to show that off tonight in a big way. So kudos to Stormy Storm, Storm Storm. And so that was nice. He said he was there to kick the crap out of Roode. Bully Ray ran down, attacked Storm from behind. Storm chased them both off. And they grabbed the mic and told Rude that if he wants some, he should come get some. And he challenged them to, basically, he challenged them to a handicap match tonight. And they said, you want both of us? You're on. So, here's one thing. The handicap match. Why is James Storm constantly challenging people to handicap matches? I mean, I kind of get what they're trying to do with it. And that's to make Storm seem like he's a tough guy. And like he's a, like, he's the kind of guy that, hey, it doesn't matter what the numbers are, I'm still going to fight. I believe that it makes him seem dumb to casual fans. I think that that's the real effect that it has, is that fans sitting at home go, wow, that's stupid. Why would you want a handicap match with those guys? That is, what good does that do? You're just kind of putting yourself in a two-on-one situation. Of course, it didn't end up being a handicap match, which was another big story on the show. But I'll get to that as we go through the show in order on the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. This is Will Pruitt sending you to break. We don't actually have commercials here. I'm just kind of being a jerk because I can on this audio. Backstage, we had Madison Rayne and Gail Kim having a heart-to-heart. And Madison Rayne was given a tiara by Gail Kim. And that means now that her theme music makes sense again. She is a killer, killer queen or something like that. Is that what it says? I assume that's what it says. I know I like Madison Rayne's theme music. It's better than half of the Knockout theme music. So, you know, it's a low bar there. Then we had Velvet Sky defeat Madison Rayne in 2 minutes and 59 seconds. This was not your standard sloppy Velvet Sky match. It was mildly better than your standard sloppy Velvet Sky match. She, I guess she had her wrestling boots on, and more importantly, the people in the TNA offices had their editing boots on. There were some very crafty camera cuts here that made it seem like Velvet Sky was definitely, you know, not that great, but they were trying to make her look great, which I commend TNA for doing. I still wonder why they're pushing Velvet Sky as a babyface without just giving the push to Madison Rayne or to someone else as a babyface, someone that can wrestle and carry their end of the deal and put on some good matches. Yeah, Gail Kim can have a good match with a lot of wrestlers, but she can have a great match with some of the women on the roster, and they're just not being given an opportunity. After this match, Velvet Sky ranted about never getting a rematch for her Knockouts Championship and how she's coming after Gail Kim. And she's putting the locker room on notice. Oh, okay. I didn't even know. What? You never got a rematch? Really? I mean, does anyone even know if that's true? Can anyone tell? I question it. That's all. I question it. Backstage, we had Bully Ray lecturing Bobby Roode about his lackadaisical attitude towards Storm. Ray said that tonight they needed to take Storm out. Roode got fired up and Ray called him stupid. Yay. Then we had Hulk Hogan and Dixie Carter, part duh. And it's Hulk and Dixie sitting in a park talking. And it was like, you know the conversation that you see on Backstage, or Backstage, back to school specials. Sorry guys, been at a technical theater convention this week and you can tell what's on my mind. You know those things that you see on back to school specials that are like, I was a mom, dad, I just got wrapped up with the wrong people and then I had to do the drugs. I'm sorry you found that pot in my room. It's not mine. I'm holding it for a friend. That was Hulk Hogan talking about his evil. He's like, Dixie, you know, I just got wrapped up in some things. And you know how Eric Bischoff is. And man, he just gave me so much weed to hold for him. I needed it. Yeah, that's, I feel like that's the best way I can describe what this segment was. Now, can I describe why it happened? No. No, I really can't. I can't tell you why this segment happened at all. It was odd. But Hulk and Dixie, it was a long talking segment. It was like 5-6 minutes of them sitting on a park bench with a cameraman hiding around the corner watching them. It was just odd. It was when that TNA promo style really doesn't work, as opposed to, you know, sometimes when it really does work and it works really well. I'm tired of this. You know, I'm to the point just in wrestling, in my fandom, where I'm done with authority figure drama, guys. It's no longer entertaining. It's no longer worth watching. It is seriously the stupidest thing I can imagine doing. It's saying, these guys are in charge and they're fighting. It worked in an era. There was a time that it worked really well. It pulled them out of a slump. Bischoff joining the NWO, Austin versus McMahon, fantastic angles. But what is it now? It's a bunch of guys sitting around talking, and no one wants to see it. It doesn't, you know, the person that's in charge of the show doesn't matter because the show never changes. When Sting took over, there was not a change in Impact Wrestling. When Hulk Hogan stole the company from Dixie Carter, there was not a change. And now Hulk Hogan coming back to power, there's not going to be a change. It's going to be the same stuff. So I don't see the point of having Hulk Hogan and Dixie Carter have this conversation or any of it. And that's, you know, that's, I might be being, you know, oh, stupid smark on the internet, being all stupid. Like, yeah, I might not be being the best wrestling fan here, and I may not know. They think that authority figure drama draws. I think that the company that stops doing it is going to start putting on the best product, and in the end, the company that puts on the best product is going to win. You know, and that goes for Ring of Honor, too. The Kevin Steen versus Jim Cornette storyline was dumb as well. So, yeah, we had that segment. Basically, another annoying thing. Everything that they said in that segment, they said again at the end, at a closing segment in the show. So that's silly. Then we saw a video package covering the history between Crimson and Matt Morgan. Then backstage, we saw Kurt Angle cut a promo. A really, really bad promo going, oh, Jeff Hardy, you know, it was that kind of voice. He had the big eyes. He was yelling and smiling and doing weird things. Jeff Hardy, you're a crybaby. If you can beat Mr. Anderson tonight, then I'll accept your challenge for lockdown, Jeff Hardy. But if you can't, you don't get yourself a rematch, Jeff Hardy. Okay, that's kind of weird, too. I'll just break that down now before we get to that match. Mr. Anderson just came back as a babyface. He's aiding AJ Styles. It's awesome, right? Like, it's a really cool thing. You know, we've got Mr. Anderson back as a babyface. That side of the roster needed some backup, some help. And we've got Mr. Anderson there to do it. So what do they do with Anderson? Right after he stops, you know, right after he's out of that program with AJ Styles, they put him up against the most popular wrestler in the company, one of the most popular wrestlers in the world, and to hold him back from his objective. I mean, what does Mr. Anderson get if he wins that match? Does he get a special match against Kurt Angle, maybe for the number one contendership? No, he just gets to hang out. So really, Mr. Anderson, if he's honorable, should lay down and let Jeff Hardy win that just so Hardy can have that opportunity. I know, I'm overthinking it, guys. It's kind of what I do. I'm an overthinker. But that was odd. Then Chrissy Hemme was about to introduce the next match, Morgan versus Crimson, when Austin Aries walked to the ring. This was really interesting. Aries came in and was like, no one apparently comes out when their time is, so I'm just going to take some time right now. And he talked about what Bully Ray did to him last week and how, you know, he's not the guy that you'd expect to stand up with James Storm. But tonight, he wants to stand by James Storm's side. He wants to fight with him. This was an Austin Aries babyface turn, no matter which way you paint it. And it was a really well-done babyface turn. And, you know, I have my issues with it, which I'll get to in a minute. But Aries did a really nice job with this promo. I thought he came off natural on the mic. I thought he really delivered a strong performance. And I'm happy about it. The issue I have here is that I don't think it's time for Austin Aries to be a babyface. I don't think it's that moment yet. Mostly because Aries is just such a good heel. You know, you can build him up as a dominating heel. He was dominating the X Division. And now as a babyface, it's like, does he run through the whole X Division again with all of them turning heel? Or does he, you know, he was so strong as a heel that I don't know that babyface was the right way to go here. But if they feel like they need it, and if the crowd was turning him anyways, that's a great decision. I'm not a big fan, but also I'm not going to say it's the worst thing they could do. I'm taking a wait and see on this baby. Then we had Matt Morgan make his entrance for the match against Crimson. And we came back from a commercial, and Morgan and Crimson were fighting on the ramp. Guys, these two wrestlers throw the worst punches in the industry. Like, my wife even looked up during a sequence where Matt Morgan was on top of Crimson just hitting him. And my wife hates watching Impact anyways, and I always apologize to her when I make her do it. But it's WrestleMania week, and I don't have time to watch things on delay, really. And she just goes, Those guys throw the worst punches. What is he even doing? His wrist is like awkwardly bending as he hits him. It's like he's trying to hit him with his wrist bone. Yeah. Worst in the industry right there. But they wrestled to a double countout, which makes sense. I think the double countout is a feeble attempt to make a cage match between them make sense. Now, it seems like Lockdown this year, they're getting rid of Lethal Lockdown. There's been no mention of it unless they build it up suddenly next week, maybe a Hogan team versus a Bischoff team or something. Lethal Lockdown is not happening. Why do you put every match in a cage still then? You have the Lockdown name established, and we've seen WWE pull back in their gimmick pay-per-views to not three Hell in a Cells, but two or whatever. How about you pull back on the cage match thing? You go, you know what, guys? We're going to give you three cage matches. Yeah, we're going to give you a knockout-style cage match. That's a big deal. You know, the Knockouts Championship, you don't get to see women in a cage match that often. That's chill. We're going to give you the, you know, Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle match, and we're going to give you the World Championship cage match. Those are the cage matches you're going to get. Aside from those, you're just going to get a standard, really good wrestling pay-per-view, and you should tune in and watch it. I don't think the buy rate for Lockdown will go down in that situation. But that's me. I'm crazy. Joseph Parks was talking in the production truck, and he gave guys his card. And I mentioned this in my Bruins pause. I have this theory that every business card that Joseph Parks hands out is going to end up being a tiny abyss, and it's going to turn into a little abyss, and they are going to slowly eat the people who hold the business cards. Yeah, that's my theory, guys. Then our third match of the night, Mr. Anderson defeated Jeff Hardy in 4:24. This match was just starting to get going when Kurt Angle ran down, gave Jeff Hardy a low blow from behind, rolled him into the ring, and Anderson got the win. The commentators tried to play it up like Anderson didn't know he was taking advantage of a down Jeff Hardy. Yeah, I'm not a big Anderson fan anyways, but I'm not a huge fan of what that story does for his character. I just wonder, what is the Mr. Anderson character anyways? What exactly is he doing? What does he stand for? Who is Mr. Anderson? Because we just don't know. And this match made it even more confusing as to who he is. So that was odd. We've got Jeff Hardy again on a search for, or on like a quest for his rematch against Kurt Angle, which Angle actually already announced on Twitter that is happening. I got Kurt Angle on Twitter, guys. Brief pause. Is the most ridiculous and funny thing in the world. Like when he talks about domestic abuse and you bring up the domestic abuse charges that have been leveled against him in the past. When he talks about, when he talks about anything like moral and you're just like, dude, you drive pilled out of your mind and have been caught doing so multiple times. Oh, gosh, it's silly. It's brilliantly silly. I'm such a big fan of Kurt Angle on Twitter. It's unbelievable. Then we had Dixie Carter emerging from a limousine. Yep, that's what they went with. Dixie Carter coming out of a limousine. She's here and she's going to be talking eventually. Like, that's their big pitch. Again, guys, I am not a fan of the authority figure drama. And I'm bored of it. Then we saw James Storm's theme song music video. I'm a fan of that. I am a big fan of James Storm's theme song. I mean, when it gets to that Johnny Cash listener part, like I've said multiple times, I'm probably singing along with it, rocking some Johnny Cash listening. I mean, he is a beer drinking, moonshine sipping, something, something, Johnny Cash listening guy. Yeah, the Long Necks and Rednecks song. I'm not a country guy either. I just really enjoy that theme music. It's ridiculous how much of a kick I get out of it. We saw ODB and Eric Young planning their wedding. The wedding planner had large breasts there. I saved you some time. And then they decided to get married in a steel cage. Guys, I wish my wedding would have been in a steel cage. Again, I looked at my wife during the show and I'm like, they have the right idea. She did not take kindly to that. Gosh, I love my wife. Then Eric Bischoff came to the ring. And he did his standard, I'm Eric Bischoff and I drink this business. I'm a Bischoff, blah, 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 just to get some heat. And then he talked about how he still gets what he wants and how his contract has a stipulation in it that whenever he asks for TV time, he gets it. So I guess that was their way of trying to explain, why is Bischoff still around? Who's putting him here? So Bischoff gets TV time anytime he wants. That's good. That's exactly the kind of... Those are the agreements that I want wrestling companies that I have faith in to be making with their talent. Is TV time whenever you want it? Of course! So, Eric said he had one thing left to do, and he invited Garrett to the ring. Garrett came out, and Bischoff basically said, you're going to fight Gunner in a cage at Lockdown. And Garrett said, you're a jackass, Dad. I'm not going anywhere, and you're dumber than everyone if you think I am. Yeah, I will fight Gunner, Dad. Yes, that is my new Garrett Bischoff voice, exclusively for ProWrestling.net audio. Because literally, this storyline might as well be, you know, a 13-year-old getting upset at his father, going, Dad, I don't want to do that. You're mean. You're a jerk face. I hate you. That's what it reminds me of. Then we got a video package about James Storm training for Lockdown. And this was another really good video package in this series talking about, hey, James Storm, he is training. He's training hard. He's been here since the beginning in TNA. Gosh, why? Again, the production team is building this feud really well. They're talking about being here since the beginning. They're talking about all this stuff. Why aren't we getting that on TV? James Storm is cutting these great promos, but not in front of a live crowd. He's cutting them for the production team, which is chill, but it's not helping. And we saw James Storm and Austin Aries team up to defeat Bobby Roode and Bully Ray in 12-24. Everyone in this match kind of had their opportunity to shine, which was fantastic. I don't like mixing up Storm and Roode as much as they have lately, but, you know, they're doing what they want to do. The finish of this match came when Roode sipped the beer, had a mouthful of it, and went to spray it at Storm. Storm moved. Bully Ray got beer in the face. Super kick from Storm. And a 3 count. Ended the match. They're making that last call super kick look deadly. I like that. That was a fun play on a standard beer money finish. And I like that. And I just enjoy where they're going with Roode and Storm. I do. I wish they had been building this feud for a little while longer, but since they haven't, I'm just going to take what I can get here and enjoy what TNA is actually giving us that's a little bit good. Because what we got next was a lot of bit bad. Dixie Carter was in the ring, and she asked Hulk Hogan to come down. And they reiterated what they said in that park bench segment. Basically saying, Dixie, I got into some stuff. I got mixed up, and I don't know that I can accept this responsibility. And Dixie going, Hulk, we need you. TNA needs you. I need you, Hulk.
Dixie, I don't know, brother. I got mixed up in some stuff, brother, and I feel bad about that, brother.
But Hulk! Hulk! And then all of the baby faces came down to the ring. All of them, including James Storm. And once again, James Storm is the number 4 baby face in the company, behind Hulk Hogan, Dixie Carter, and, gosh, who else was it? Garrett Bischoff, I was saying? I don't know. But after Hulk Hogan and Dixie Carter, you've got James Storm somewhere up there. Oh, and Sting. Of course, Sting led the parade of baby faces to the ring, by the way. And they all came out and were like, Hulk, we need you, man. We need you to take over and be our pointless authority figure that somehow still lets the heels get the upper hand, even though you're a babyface like Sting did. Remember him? We need you to do that. And, you know, you might as well have had Dave Lagana, Matt Conway, Bruce Pritchard out there going, Hulk, come on, dude. And Eric Bischoff, of course. Man, we need this storyline device because we need the crutch of authority figures in wrestling just like every other company today does, and we're afraid to innovate and do something different. So can you please do this for us? Because that's what it comes out to. And then Hulk Hogan agreed to become the new GM. Brother, thank you, Ryan Kester, for your wonderful impact reports. And then he looked into the camera to close the show and went, what you gonna do, brother, when the new GM runs wild on you? Well, how exactly does a GM run wild? I'd like to clarify that beforehand, before I answer this question. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this segment. I thought that they could have done a much better job. I'm not a big fan of Hulk Hogan. He's not doing anything. like, there's no reason for him to be there in reality. And that's super, super irritating. So, the show in general, not my favorite episode of Impact, if you couldn't tell. I think that they're really going in a bad direction with a lot of this authority figure stuff. It's not helping their product. It's not helping them get ahead at all. It's just, it's almost insufferable. And it's frustrating to watch as a fan. That's basically it. I don't even know what else to say about TNA at this point. There is something, you know, it seemed like they were going to get on the right track. They were going to start promoting some good wrestling. They were going to do some fun things. And then they got wildly off track. People used to blame Vince Russo for things like this. And boy, howdy, is it not Vince Russo anymore? It's other people, but the storylines are just as bad. And I'm, you know, just because Vince Russo's name isn't attached, we're not about to start praising it. They're doing some bad work, and they're really, I think they're screwing the pooch a little bit on what should be a very natural build to lockdown. So that's our Impact recap this week, guys. Once again, I do these things weekly for ProWrestling.net. We also have a weekly Raw and SmackDown audio updates from Jason Powell and the team of Chris Shore and Jake Barnett. Check us out for WrestleMania weekend, man. Check out the .net member side of things if you want. We've got that awesome sale going on. Once again, it's a big deal when we do a sale. We don't do them often, and you guys should really take advantage. If you've been on the fence, if you've been thinking about it, lock it in. You know, get yourself that 1 month, or if you know, maybe you were a member before in the past life, whatevs, and you're sitting there going, man, I really do enjoy that membership. It's well worth the cash. I was a .net member before. I worked for the site. I found it to be worth the cash as well. So check it out, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And you know what? Even if you're just rocking All Access this weekend, you're going to hear a lot more of me, some Jake Barnett, and some Ryan Kester. And man, we're excited to be talking to you guys. So thank you guys for listening to this ProWrestling.net All Access podcast, and I'll talk to you soon.